Ephesians 3, from 14 to 21, and it's the prayer of the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family, in heaven and on earth, derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
We have with us Emma, and Emma is a great friend and also a member of the Methodist Church in Guernsey, where we were for 4 years. So I invited Emma today to share a brief testimony with us of what God did with her life and through her life. And so Emma, please come. Let's share together and listen what God wants to bless us through you.
I like how you say brief. If you spent a month with grief, you know nothing's brief.
No.
And I've spent 4 years, so good luck.
Can I
have my 4 years ago, you would never have got me up here, ever. Okay? And I'm going to do a longer testimony now. I'll try and keep it brief. So, my background, I grew up in a Christian home, and that's brilliant, and not everyone has that opportunity, and I know that I am very blessed because of that. But just being brought up in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. And 4 years ago, I had led the Christian life. I'd been to church, I did work for God, I served God, I tried to be a good person, tried to be a better person, but I wouldn't have said I had a relationship with God. So there's a difference between being brought up as a Christian and having a relationship with God, and I only learned that 4 years ago. 4 years ago, when Danny and Louise arrived, I'll be honest, I wasn't in maybe the best place in my life. I lost my dad, my uncle, my aunt to cancer all in a very short period of time, and I was really questioning life and God, and I really said to God, right, this next pastor, you better do something with them, because I'm not sure what's going on and I'm not sure what I want to do. And well, very quickly I realised that God answered that prayer, and I'm sure that maybe you're feeling that way as well. So very quickly, Danny and Louise started a cell group, and I was very blessed to be invited to the first cell group, and that's when things started to change. And I'd grown up going to house groups, and for me, I just never felt comfortable. I never felt I was benefiting. But in a cell group, I started to experience God in everyday life and put the Bible and apply it to everyday life and saw it in action and build relationship with people. And then we got an invitation to go to Brazil. Now, I grew up in Guernsey, but I also grew up abroad, so I love to travel, I have travel fever. And so I heard the word Brazil and thought, great, another holiday, excellent. And I went to all the pre-meetings, and I heard that I was going to some sort of retreat weekend called Encounter with God, but yeah, fine, yeah, I'm going to Brazil on holiday. And I arrived in Brazil, and I was whisked off to Encounter with God, and suddenly realised, oh, I'm here for something else. Now I'm not going to tell you what happens at Encounter Good because you need to experience it for yourself. And I look forward to seeing all of you there. But that weekend, it changed my life. And I got towards the end of the weekend and I said, God, I'm not leaving here until I have experienced more of you, until I have seen you, felt you, and like that, the Holy Spirit did his work. And the whole experience of Brazil was incredible. The people, their love, their passion for God, they're on fire and they are experiencing revival. And that's what we want to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I loved it so much that 3 months later I went back on my own and I had to learn the language very, very quickly. And I went back to work on another Encounter for God and really see what the church does there from the inside. And I was very blessed by Danny and Reese's friends and their family, and they took care of me. And it was just a wonderful time in my life again. And a few short months later, we had our first encounter of God in Guernsey. And we were invaded by some crazy Brazilians. And that was an experience. The best experience. And again, I saw God using me in a way I never imagined, in more than one way. And that language skill, I've never learnt so much the language in such a short period of time. And we had a lot of Brazilians that didn't speak any English, and then me, the English person, that spoke a little bit of Portuguese. And I was having to translate between the Brazilian team, the English team. And that wasn't me, that was all God, and it was for his purpose. Now, I said the miracle is me standing up the front. I preached at Encounter with God, and that's the first time I've ever preached. And again, a miracle in my life. And I had a complete fear of talking in front of others, whether it was 5 people, 20, 50, a complete fear. I was reminded of this yesterday when Danny was teasing me, that the first time I spoke in front of a church and in Brazil, I literally wrote out every single word for word. I was that terrified that I needed that. And I stand here today with that many notes as opposed to every word for word. That was a miracle in my life. And a few months later, I started my own cell group. Again, a miracle, me sitting in front of women sharing God's word. I started with 5, and a few short months later, 14 women turned up at my house. And with all different backgrounds, some of them from the church, some never been to church. So for some, cell group is their church. And they're hearing God's word every Monday night at my house. And the changes in these women, it's hard to describe because it's incomprehensible. But we've had 4 engagements, 3 weddings, 2 babies. We've had new jobs. We've had healing. We've had storms, but we've supported each other through those storms. And to see God's work in that group of women, it's just amazing. Again, a few short months later, Louise and Danny invited me to Kenya. Woohoo! And off we went, 3 of us. And what happens in Kenya stays in Kenya, some things. But again, preaching to women. Women that have never been allowed to be preached to before by women. And so Danny and I did a lot of work there. And preaching to people that have never met a white person, a Mzungu. And lots of experiences with toilets and shabatis. But it was an absolutely amazing time. And again, a year later, we went back with a Brazilian, a crazy Brazilian team, and a Guernsey team, and we did an encounter with God in Kenya. Again, preaching to a room twice the size of this, full of Kenyan women, something that's never been done before in Kenya. So revival is happening in Brazil. It's happening in Kenya, it's starting in Guernsey. So So, where is your comfort zone? Because mine is not up the front here. And look what God's doing. I'm excited to see what God is going to do here. I know what God has done in my life just in 4 years. And like I said, it couldn't be a brief testimony because there's too much to share. I could keep going. But I guess my message to you from my testimony is don't waste time. Don't waste time with these special people because God has work to do here and he will use them if you allow them to be used.
Father, we give honor and glory to you. Father, thank you for Emma and her testimony, and it's so amazing to see that you are alive and doing amazing things. So Father, bless her and keep blessing people in Guernsey. Bless us today. Help us to learn what you have for us. Help us to leave this place just in fire for you and for everything that you want to do in us and through us. We give, Lord, the sovereignty of our lives to you. You are the Lord, the sovereign Lord. That's what I pray for. That's what we pray out to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. One of the things that I love in John Wesley. John, why people come from so far away to see you preaching? Or why you think that God is doing something different through you? You just stop and look at people and say, look, my purpose is to get myself on fire. And people will come to see me burn. The thing is, he understood something that I love. He understood that if he was with God and not, that would change people completely. Not because of him, or his good skills, or his good testimony, or his good message, or whatever. No. But what would change people was that they would meet the real God. They would have the right expectations and the right purpose of their lives. And that's why I would like to talk to you this morning. What is your expectations and what is your purpose in life? What brought you here this morning? What made you just put your clothes and say, look, let's go to church today? I hope with all my being that it's not just because it's what you do on Sundays. I hope that you're not here just because otherwise I will call you in a week. I hope that you're not here just because anything else apart from you may have an encounter with this real God. And I may not be on fire here, literally, but we all can feel God's presence. And it's not just what God is doing in Brazil and Canada and Guernsey. All that is amazing, but we are before the God Almighty that created everything that has to bring something to us. To make some difference. To bubble something inside of us. Look, it's not normal. We don't feel and we don't judge normal if we have an appointment with the Queen. Do you? If you had an appointment with the Queen this afternoon, an afternoon tea with the Queen, would you go with your shorts and flip-flops and your Manchester City hat? Would you do that? No, right? You would put your nice clothes, you would prepare yourself, and even rehearsal before the mirror what you would say, right? But why we come before God in a way that we just sometimes show that we don't care? Sometimes someone came to John Wesley and said again, said, Wesley, are you concerned about the atheists? And he stopped for a while and said, no, I'm not really concerned about atheists. But I'm concerned about people that live like God doesn't exist. People that call themselves Christians, but when come to day-to-day life, they live like God doesn't exist. That concerns me. And that concerns me as well. Look, when we talk about expectation in church and expectation with God, many things come to our mind, and many of them are not very good. Because we need to be honest, we grew up, or at least I grew up, in a family where expectations were not always met. And then we learn in our society that expectations are not always good. Don't expect anything from others. Do yourself. That's a message from hell. Don't expect anything from anyone. No one will help you if you don't wake up and do everything you want to do. There's a truth on there. You need to do your part, but it's not just you. That's also from hell. But we need to open ourselves today to the reality that we have learned expectation in a wrong way. And I just made a draft here about a godly expectation and a worldly expectation before we really go to the point of our sermon. And the first thing we need to understand is that a godly expectation helps us to see with God's eye some situation. Help us to have God's vision about something. That is God's expectation. If you have an expectation that comes from the Lord, when you see someone that is ill, you will not just wish that they have a nice, comfortable time until they get better. You know that you can pray for this person. You know that God can use you. God can use the tablets or whatever He wants to use you, but God will never leave or forsake that person. So, a godly expectation will help you to have God's vision. A worldly expectation will lead you to be anxious. Anxiety. That must happen now. Like a friend of mine used to say, he said, Lord, give me patience and give now. That is a worldly expectation. The one that make us anxious and make us start to eat our fingers and just say, oh, but it needs to happen now, and now I'm expecting that. And sometimes we look like a 3-year-old child waiting for the chocolate after a meal, but they wanted a meal of the meal. And you know, that is not from God. That is wrong. That's not called expectation. That is called anxiety. Amen? The second thing we need to understand is that a godly expectation will lead us to surrender ourselves to God. I'm expecting God to intervene, so I surrender myself. Because I know I can't do it. Look, we took 27 people to Kenya to preach. Emma went there the second time there. And we led a retreat for 200 Kenyan people. Some of them, they were on a bike for 40 miles to come to this retreat. You have made up things I had no idea how it would work out. Because sometimes in Kenya, I remember when I went there, and Emma went with us, and we were doing the contract of the place to do the retreat. And I said to the lady, so he's agreed. Where do I sign? She said, here. They gave me her hand. We shake hands. That was the contract. And as you can expect, many things changed. Almost everything changed when we finally got there. And even we had signs. He said, please sign here. Yeah, it is. Don't worry. Yeah, okay, let's change a little bit. And that's fine, but when we have a godly expectation, we surrender ourselves. We are not in control. I expect to God you to do what you want. So for that to happen, I surrender myself. May your will be done, not mine. May your time come, not mine. But if we have a worldly one, a worldly expectation may lead us to make demands. Isn't that true? I expect you to do it. It's almost like you have to do it. But Louis, I expect you to do that. It's like, I had my ideas and you didn't fulfill, so it's your fault. That's not from God. That is demands, not really expectation. The only thing is that a godly expectation leads us to trust. Make us to live and believe in God's word. That expectation. It's not in what I want or how I want. It's all about Him, so I'll live by His word. And if the Bible says I can, I can. If the Bible says I am, I am. If the Bible says I'll do, I'll do. It's not based on me. That is expectation. I'll base my life on something higher. But a worldly expectation put words in people's mouth. and put actions in people's life. That is not godly expectation. When people expect God to do what they want, that's not expectation. God doesn't do what I want. He's God, I'm not. So if we understand what is expectation, let's understand two things. The first thing I'd like you to understand today is that the Bible is very clear in the text that Linda just read for us, that God is able to do immeasurable more than what we can ask or imagine. Amen? Immeasurable more. We cannot think about it. We cannot even grasp. He's able to do a lot more. A lot more. And that's why sometimes we get frustrated. Like that, you know, when Jesus entered, and one of them said, Jesus, please, I want to walk. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. I imagine that, Lord, I didn't ask to be forgiven. I just want to walk. But God, He always do immeasurable more. He didn't want to heal the body and leave the soul to go, you know, I want a complete transformation. So, we're forgiven. Thank you, by the way, God. God does a lot more. But He's immeasurable to do a lot more. So how can we understand this? The first thing is that what we expect will drive me. Whatever you expect will drive your life. If you don't have an expectation, or a good, a godly expectation, you already reach your destination. That's it. God is able to do immeasurable more. The double of zero is zero. The double of nothing is nothing. I don't have any expectation in life. Great, well done. You reach all your expectations already. That's it. Whatever you expect will transform you, will lead you, will drive you. That's why I ask you, why did you come today? What have you brought here? Don't say you're a car, please. What have you brought here? Serious. We come to church because this is what we do. So, could be a club or something else. Wouldn't make any difference. But when I wake up, I always remember, every Sunday I remember Billy Graham, when he was young, he came to England, you know that. And he went to see the Methodist church house and the whole thing. And he went to Wesley House, where John Wesley used to live. And there's one place on the upper room where John Wesley used to pray. And you can even see it's nearly very the place where he used to pray. And then when everybody left the building, the teacher was trying to find Billy Graham. And then she went. He was there, 11 years old, with his knees there saying, God, do it again. I expect it. Do it again. Revive this place again. And when I wake up every Sunday, I wake up around 6 o'clock every Sunday to pray, to just be on the spirit of discernment. And I always remember God, do it again. Not what I expect, what you want to do. My expectation is on you, Lord. Bring healing today, transformation today. Allow us to understand we are before someone that is alive. And that's not normal. That's not just something that we do every Sunday. No, that's a huge opportunity and a great blessing. Look at the Old Testament. When someone went before the presence of God, they would prepare themselves for 1 year. Remember the high priest. And for the last few months, he wouldn't drink anything that was strong. He wouldn't do this, he wouldn't do that. He would be so concerned even with their dreams. He would fast and burn and do offerings and everything. And when he finally went to the presence of God, he would be with a rope around him because he was so afraid that he would die there and no one would ever be able to retrieve his body. Nowadays, we are in a time of grace. But I think many people misunderstand that because there is no expectation to go to God's presence. I'm not talking about fear here. I'm talking about expectation. They really knew they would be before God, and that would not be normal. What is your expectation today? Do you expect just a long service because I'm preaching? And by the way, thank you. You helped a lot with expectation. Do you expect God to speak to you today? Do you expect God to touch you today? Do you expect maybe healing to take place? Maybe His glory to touch you? I don't know what is. Why do you do what you do? Look, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 that the crippled man, he was expecting to get something from Peter and John. What are you expecting to get today? Are you expecting to get anything from this service? I hope that is not just your conscience to be a little bit better. That sick woman, 12 years, she was sick, Luke chapter 8 says to us. And in the middle of that, she went to touch Jesus' cloak because she knew that she would never be the same. We need to have this experience. Just one touch. And Bartimaeus, I love Bartimaeus. I could preach every Sunday about him. God, I love this guy. A homeless man, blind, just sit on the, you know, and he saw more than what many people could see. Because when Jesus was passing, he just started to shout, "Jesus, Son of David!" And everybody, "Hey, shh, shut up. Don't do that. You know, don't shout." And when he just shouted even more, and when people finally said, "Hey, Jesus is here," and he just listened to you, he just threw away his cloak and everything else. He didn't care about protection anymore. He didn't need it anymore because he had Jesus listening to him. That is expectation. He knew I'll never be the same again. He just stopped to listen to me. Get rid of me. Jesus, I'm here. This is expectation. This is what I want you to understand today. The second thing we need to understand is that expectation and the right purpose reshape our lives. God can do. He took a young man that wasn't really believed even for his family to defeat a giant. David. He took an orphan in exile that was just everything against her to save the Israel people and to bless that people that was Esther. He took a man that was sold by his family and he was imprisoned because he was a good man and all of that to be the second most powerful man on earth. That was Joseph. God can do! But what we believe reshapes us and shape our lives and our attitudes. Sometimes someone asks me and said, "Louis, how long do you prepare yourself to go to a church?" I said, "Sermon wise, no. Your clothes, your hair, how long do you take?" And then you might be looking to me and thinking, 30 seconds, 25 seconds, it's about that. And the person looked to someone that was with me, was a lady, and said, "How long do you take to prepare yourself to go to church?" And she said something like 20 minutes or 25 minutes to put my hair right and everything else. And the guy said, "Do you spend the same amount of time praying or expecting great things from that encounter with God?" And she said, "No." And he said, "You could change that." And the thing is, sometimes I see, not in my house, because Dougie doesn't do that. Some, they try one cloak and then it's not right, and then they put another one, and then after two or three, they come back to the first one, and, you know, and they just do their hair and do makeup. And that's all nice. I like it. But the thing is, we don't pray for the service. We don't bless the person that will preach. We don't hope to get anything from that service. And then when we get there and we have nothing, we leave and say, "You know, it wasn't very good today, was it?" One day I went to a church, a long time ago. I was in Brazil and I got preaching in the church. And I remember I left the church and I said to them, "I didn't like the service. I didn't like the sermon. It wasn't good." And I felt God speaking to me and saying, "First of all, the service wasn't for you. For me. I like it. The second thing, Louis, you didn't pray, you didn't bless the preacher, you didn't care about anything. You just arrived there like you went to McDonald's. And because things didn't work out, you judge that you can't just not go again to that church or to that preacher, but you did not even put in your heart to pray for the person, to bless the person, or to anything else. Expectations. I remember when someone called me one day and said, Louis, I really want to pray for the sick people. Can you bless me? And I want to have the healing gift or something like that. And I said, great, let's go to the hospital tomorrow afternoon. And we'll be praying for people. He said, no, I don't want that. Because, you know, we will pray and if people don't get healed, you know, it's... And then that just led me to think, how many times you pray for someone that is not well, and in the middle of prayer, you already start to find excuses. Or you are praying for healing, but then you think, oh, it's not going to happen. What do you expect from that? And like I said, expectation is surrender. It's to surrender yourself. So I always, when I pray for someone, I say, look, I can't do anything but God can. Will reshape what you believe, will reshape how you do things. But we need to obey. And to finish, expectation and purpose will lead you to leave the impossible. It's time for a time of miracles in our lives. What is miracle? Miracle is something that just God can do. So, it's not a miracle if you can do it. God wants to bless you and help you to do what you can do. But it's time to allow God to be God in our lives. It's time to allow Him to do what He wants to do. Like Emma said in the beginning. She couldn't. I remember the first time that I said, Emma, you're going to lead a cell group. She said, no. I can't. I said, yeah, you can. I'm not forcing you. I'll pray for you. Do you allow me to pray for it? Yes. And I give my heart, God could do it. And she has an amazing cell group there, winning people for Jesus, preaching for you, preaching Africa, you know, I expect great things to you. I'm not putting any weight in your shoulders, I'm not putting any words in your mouth or counting with any attitudes that you don't have. What I'm saying to you is that expectation is what opens ourselves to the reality that God will intervene. And it's time to allow God to be God in this church. It's time to allow God to be God in your life, in your family. Expect to have great things from Him. Expect to meet this God that is alive. It's not just a good story or a good philosophy of life. It's God. He's the one that is here among us. He's the one that has all the power and the one that brings joy and peace and eternal life and salvation. It's not normal. It's a lot more than what we can think of. Immeasurable more. So my prayer to you before we go to pray is that you may come every Sunday with a high expectation. Not from the preacher. Not from the anything else but from God. Knowing, I hope in my Lord. I trust Him. I surrender myself to Him. And if the Bible says that He is with me, that He listens to me, that He heals, that He blesses, that He transforms, that He cares, that's it. It's your will and your word now. Do you expect that? So all of them will be transformed. Do you expect that? So this church will be very small. Because whatever God is, people come. If you expect and allow God to do what He wants, we are already in the mind. I'd like to invite you to pray. Just to close your eyes. I don't know what our expectations are. But one thing I know, God is here. And maybe you need to be honest and say, Lord, for me it's really hard to expect great things from you because until now in my life I wasn't living like that. Or until now, Lord, I was expecting things that I could do or that I could produce, but I wasn't really expecting that you could intervene He's not a problem. He knows that He's here today. And the Lord is inviting you to open our heart. He's great. He's amazing. Father, we pray now that You may give us the right expectations. Father, don't allow us to come to a service or to wake up in the morning knowing that we can have an amazing day with You and just judge this normal. Father, don't allow us just to think that everything is normal. It's not. Father, help us to surrender. Help us to have Your vision, Your eyes for everything that is happening in our lives. Father, we pray in the precious name of Jesus that we may trust in You, obey Your word, and live by You. And then we will know, Lord, that faith, expectation, and surrender is just different sides of the same coin that will lead us to live everything that You have for us. Father, I bless my brothers and sisters. I bless their families. I bless their ministry. And I prophesy, Lord, that they will live everything that You have for them. A time of miracles. A time where You will do what only You can do in their lives. So, Father, please transform our lives this week. Allow us to have a surprisingly blessed week. And to remember every single moment of our day that we are before You. That's why we pray, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.